This week on Indian Times, the United States Supreme Court and Native Americans. The relationship has been good and bad. Recent rulings have not gone the way Indian country hoped. The Supreme Court, friend or foe, it's the law of the land. John Echohawk, Executive Director of the Native American Rights Fund, or NARF, advises Natives and American Indian tribes to stay away from the Supreme Court. To that end, NARF has joined with the National Congress of American Indians, or NCAI, to form the Tribal Supreme Court Project.
We clearly saw, as tribal leaders did, this developing, disturbing trend in the U.S. Supreme Court to basically rule against Indian tribes and Indian interest in virtually any case that came to the Supreme Court, such that the winning record that we had had beginning in the 1970s when the Native American Rights Fund started had turned into a losing record where basically three out of every four Indian law cases argued before that court resulted in significant losses. Tribal leaders wanted to try to do something about that, so they formed this project. And basically what we do is, together with the National Congress of American Indians, is to work with tribal attorneys and tribal leaders and Indian law professors and Supreme Court practitioners across the country on each of these cases that is as it approaches the Supreme Court or gets accepted by the Supreme Court. And we try to help the parties involved come up with the best approach, the best arguments that all of us can help put together. And hopefully that will change our win-loss record in the U.S. Supreme Court. But despite our best efforts, hasn't really happened. So we've got a situation here today where basically any issue headed for the Supreme Court is probably not going to be decided in favor of the tribe. So the advice going out from the National Congress of American Indians and the Native American Rights Fund and this Tribal Supreme Court Project work group of all these lawyers across the country we have working with this is that we need to stay away from the Supreme Court if at all possible.
A recent article co-authored by Echohawk and the president of the National Congress of American Indians, Jefferson Keel, from the Chickasaw Nation of Oklahoma, was called Keeping a Close Eye on Michigan versus Bay Mills Indian Community.
The U.S. Supreme Court has accepted the case of Michigan against the Bay Mills Indian Community in Michigan, and it raises some very difficult issues. It basically involves a gaming issue and raises issues relating to the interpretation of the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act, which, of course, a lot of tribes utilize across the country, and also raises a whole issue of a sovereign prerogative that tribes have, and that's their sovereign immunity from suit without their consent. And both of those issues, interpretation of the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act and the extent of the tribal immunity from suit, are raised in this case before the U.S. Supreme Court. And again, with the way the court's been interpreting things in recent years, we're just not very hopeful that any decision on those issues would be favorable to the tribes. And so we're working with the Bay Mills Indian community, hopefully, to try to get the case resolved in some other way so it doesn't get heard by the U.S. Supreme Court here later this year.
Now, if it does go against them, is that something that they would use against other tribes in other states? Will they always call upon that as a precedent?
Yeah, you've got the key word there, precedent. Many people don't understand that when a tribe's case goes to the Supreme Court, like the Bay Mills Indian Community case here, the result not only affects the Bay Mills Indian Community itself, but it stands as a precedent that courts would use then to rule on the rights of any other tribe raising issues involving the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act or the tribal immunity from suit. So it's a precedent that really is going to affect all tribes.
Supreme Court Justices Roberts and Alito have never voted pro-Indian, another problem being addressed by the Supreme Court Tribal Project.
We work with the National Congress of American Indians monitoring vacancies in the federal courts and in the U.S. Supreme Court. And whenever these vacancies do occur, then we work with all of Indian country trying to identify qualified Native American attorneys or non-Indian attorneys who have experience and background with Indian law and see if we can't get them nominated to the court. So then we have judges who are knowledgeable on these issues. We think that one of the biggest problems we have now is most of these justices and judges on the court now don't know anything about Indians or tribes or Indian law, and that's really our biggest obstacle.
Oklahoma attorney and member of the Kiowa Nation, Arvo Mikkonen, was backed by the Tribal Supreme Court project.
Arvo Mikkonen was one of these candidates who was identified when there was a vacancy there in Oklahoma, and this Tribal Judicial Selection Project of the National Congress for American Indians and the Native American Rights Fund supported Arvo Mikkonen as far as we could, and unfortunately, he didn't get confirmed, and we were all really disappointed with that, but of course we haven't given up. We keep looking at these vacancies across the country and keep looking for qualified Native American attorneys and Native advocates who could be nominated and confirmed.
That was John Echohawk, Executive Director of the Native American Rights Fund. This is Susan Shannon for Indian Times. For more information on this broadcast, go to our website, kgou.org.